Hello and welcome to the Pro Football Weekly Fantasy Football Daily Fantasy Sports, or DFS, podcast. My name is John Solly. I'm a fantasy football contributor here at Pro Football Weekly. You can find me on Twitter at JSolly. I'm joined by my co-host, Kyle Neighbors, Northwest Herald sports editor and PFW fantasy football contributor. Kyle, how did week four go for you?
I told you last week that I was already cursing you for Larry Fitzgerald. And guess what? I'm still cursing you for Larry Fitzgerald. That's it. I'm done. Never again until next week.
So one of my favorite plays this week is Larry Fitzgerald.
Oh, God.
I feel like there are people this year that have played Larry Fitzgerald and just gotten burned by him every week, except that one week where he was great and he wasn't chalk. And now he's burned everybody. And I'm going right back to the well with Larry Fitzgerald because I think this is a pretty decent matchup for him, and Arizona keeps throwing the ball.
Go right ahead.
I mean, you're done.
I'm done. I'm not doing it. No, I'm not going there. You know, I sent you and Arthur Arkish a text kind of late last night because I was so angry with Larry Fitzgerald that I didn't even go back and look at a box score for the Cardinals. But in our season-long podcast last week, I called Jerron Brown for 500 and a touchdown, and he didn't get the touchdown, but he did go for, I think it was 8 for 105. So I was feeling pretty good about that. And actually, Jerron Brown is a minimum price on FanDuel this week, and I don't think that's a bad play.
Yeah, I think that's a really good play too against this very leaky Eagles secondary. If Carson Palmer can stay upright, there are a number of guys on Arizona. I think you could play Jerron Brown certainly at the top of the list, along with the guy you're not playing in Larry Fitz.
Yeah, I also think that there's a really good case to be made that you fade Arizona completely and play the Eagles defense.
If you believe they can get to Carson Palmer, that's a team that can rack up 4 or 5 sacks. I don't think that's unreasonable against a very banged up Arizona offensive line.
Yeah, between Arizona's offensive lines and Carson Palmer's well documented struggles and noon starts or 1 o'clock starts, depending on wherever you're at for this. On the East Coast, he's been awful. You put those two things together, and I think there's a case to be made for the Eagles' defense.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. One game I want to talk to you about is Buffalo-Cincinnati. It's kind of a low total. Cincinnati's favored by 3 at home. Buffalo keeps covering. Buffalo keeps holding teams under their projected total. But I feel like the Buffalo defense confuses me a little bit because I feel like they've been in some pretty good situations and have gotten a little bit lucky. You know, they went to Atlanta. Julio Jones gets hurt. Then Mohamed Sanu gets hurt. You know, Trevor Siemian on the road the week before. It's not a great spot for him after 2 back-to-back weeks at home. So I feel like the Buffalo defense can be had. But I didn't give them enough respect for the first couple weeks. I'm very confused on the Buffalo defense. So what do you think about this game? Are there any plays you really like? AJ Green, I think, is matchup proof, but is he the kind of guy that can really, you know, do you think his ceiling is as high as it could be this week?
I think AJ Green is one of the top 3 or 5 receivers in the NFL. I think he's able to go off in almost any matchup. I don't think this is daunting at all. Typically, I would say that I like to attack Buffalo on the ground, but I'm not touching the Cincinnati run game. We expected more out of Joe Mixon last week. That didn't come to fruition. I'm not going to test that again this week because Jeremy Hill and Giovanni Bernard are just getting too many touches. So, yeah, I don't, in a tournament, I don't think that AJ Green's a bad play at all. I actually think it's a great contrarian play because I expect Jordy Nelson and Dez Bryant to be highly owned at a similar price.
Yeah, and that game is, I think, fully stackable, the Green Bay-Dallas game. But all right, I wanted to get your thoughts on that one. And one more game I want to talk about before we get into some of our favorite plays is Jacksonville and Pittsburgh. I think Jacksonville is a team that people might be scared of a little bit to play offensive players against. I'm not afraid of it this week, especially Le'Veon Bell, who looks to be back. And the Jaguars have, statistically, if you look at DVOA, the worst and least efficient rush defense in the NFL. So I think Le'Veon Bell is a great play. I think Ben Roethlisberger, and we know what he does at home. So I think that's not a bad play. And Antonio Brown, I know he's going up against Jalen Ramsey, but this is, I think, a squeaky wheel spot for Antonio Brown after all the hijinks of last week. I think Ben tries to feed him a little bit this week and get him going. What do you think about this Jacksonville-Pittsburgh game?
Well, I kind of started picking up on the Jacksonville leaky run defense a couple weeks ago and ended up go ahead and throwing Bilal Powell into some lineups last week, and that worked out pretty well.
Yes, it did.
I implore everyone to continue to go to that well as much as possible, particularly, I mean, this sets up perfectly for one of those Le'Veon Bell 30-point days, or if not more. Now, in regards to the passing game, I mean, you're certainly going to get those guys at low ownership. Ben Roethlisberger.
Yeah, it's a tournament play.
Of course. But Ben Roethlisberger, you look back not just on the road, but even at home outside of a playoff game last year, he's not been very good in the last 10 or 12 games. And against an elite secondary, Jalen Ramsey is fantastic. A.J. Bouye across the way, also great. Fire Antonio Brown and Ben up in maybe one or two tournament lineups, but that's certainly not an area that I advise you to be attacking very much.
Yeah, I think of the top priced wide receivers, Antonio Brown will definitely be the lowest owned guy.
Yeah, I don't see any reason that there's too many other options in the price range and better matchup for people to be going towards Antonio Brown in this particular matchup this week.
All right, well, something to consider for a couple of tournament lineups then. All right, Kyle, let's just go through position by position, give some of our favorite plays this week. Who are some of the quarterbacks you really like this week on FanDuel?
Well, here, I got a question for you first.
Yeah.
This pertains to it. Are you willing to play Josh McCown?
I am. The Josh McCown revenge game, baby.
Oh. I mean, being in Chicago, we've seen the Josh McCown show before.
He's minimum price on DraftKings.
Is he really?
$4,500.
Oh, God. Is he going to be chalky?
Might be.
Oh, see, he's certainly not minimum priced on FanDuel. Now, he's right in the same range as guys as Jared Goff, Eli Manning, Jacoby Brissett. None of those guys that are going to make you feel great, but this seems like a week where, once again, people are going to be paying down at quarterback. I think I might be willing to do it. I might do a Josh McCown, Austin Seferian, Jenkins stack, and even throw in some
real cheap stack.
Yeah, and throw it. I think I might be willing to throw Powell into it as well with the amount of balls he's going to catch out of the backfield.
I think that's a reasonable take.
There's going to be plenty of bad takes. I'm glad I got one reasonable one. The pricing once again on FanDuel this week, the same as last week, where you had Brady at 90, I think Brady was 9,000 or 9,500, and then there was a gap all the way down to Matt Ryan at 8,000. It's the same thing this week. This time it's Aaron Rodgers at 9,500, and then Russell Wilson at 8,000. And I think,
yeah,
and Aaron Rodgers is a great play. I love an Aaron Rodgers stack with either Jordy Nelson or Randall Cobb.
I like that too. I think you could play Rodgers naked too. If you like a lot of other options, if you're really struggling, I think you could just go Rodgers naked and get all the access that you want out of that game from the quarterback position, because Rodgers can spread it around. Rodgers, we saw last year, once he started getting running backs hurt, Rodgers picked up his running ability and found the end zone on the ground a little bit more. So I think that's in play. But yeah, the pricing is kind of similar on DraftKings with Rodgers at 8,100 and then a large gap to Russell Wilson at 7,100. So this is definitely a week I think you're either paying all the way up or going all the way down to a guy like Josh McCown. Brian Hoyer, I think, is in play against the Colts.
Yeah, I looked at Brian Hoyer and Jacoby Brissett and didn't feel good about either one. But, you know, I mean, they're in play. They're both in play.
Yeah. I don't mind Phillip Rivers or Eli Manning in that matchup either. I think that's going to be a game with a lot of passing.
Yeah.
A lot of opportunities.
And I think the other guy on the other side of the Rodgers matchup, Dak Prescott, took it to the Packers twice last year. I don't usually play Dak because I don't think he has a high enough ceiling. They don't pass the ball a lot. But I think the Packers are going to sell out trying to stop Zeke. And if I think I can get Dak at decent ownership, I think that might be my heaviest play of the week.
How expensive is Dak on FanDuel? He's, what, 7,700?
Yeah, he's 77 on FanDuel.
And he's QB, what, 6 it looks like?
Yeah.
Yeah, DraftKings, he's QB 3.
Okay.
At 6,800. So I'm a little more wary of him I might as well just try to go all the way up to Rodgers. I feel like I know that that's a $1,300 price difference, but if I'm gonna pay up, I want to go all the way up this week.
Are you willing to go to Cam Newton?
I don't know. I don't know anything about routes, so I don't really know.
Man, that was bad.
That was pretty awful. Yeah, I'm willing to play Cam this week. He looked good last week. He looked good enough, and then he's running the ball again. So why not?
Yeah, I think people are still scared of him, and I understand the reasoning. But I think once again we got to see the upside of what Cam Newton can be, and if you can still get him at this price at really low ownership, because I think people are overvaluing the Detroit defense. I think it's worth looking at.
Definitely. He'll be on a couple lineups, I think. All right, Kyle, let's move on to running back. Who are some of your favorite plays?
This really seems like a week to pay up at running back, doesn't it?
It does.
I mean, Le'Veon Bell might be the highest owned running back, might be the highest owned player of the week, and I don't have a good argument to fade him against the Jacksonville defense. As I was saying, I've been targeting them for a while. I'm going to continue to do it. The other play I really like at high price guys is Todd Gurley. How about you?
I was going to ask you about Gurley. Why do you like him? I like him too, but why do you like him?
Because I think people are yet to, once again, kind of like the Jacksonville defense, people are yet to realize this Seattle run defense is bad. It's just flat out bad. And when you're going to give me a home matchup against a bad run defense on a guy that is getting just an insane amount of usage. I mean, I don't know if people realize quite yet the amount of touches Todd Gurley is getting week in and week out. It's almost impossible for him not to do something with the amount of times he's touching a ball in a game.
23 carries last week, 8 targets. The week before, 28 carries, 7 targets. The week before that, and what you might consider a down week, 16 carries and 4 targets, which he turned into 27 points on DraftKings anyway. The Seattle defense is not has been a defense that will shut down your passing game, but they'll let you run on them. I think we've seen enough that the Seattle defense has not figured out how to stop the run yet this year. And so I think Gurley, you could potentially get at lower ownership and a guy that I'm willing to go up for this week. Absolutely.
Yeah. Those two guys are my favorite high price guys. And then you go down a little bit farther. I really like Carlos Hyde if he's going to play this week. If not, I think you can get Matt Breida really cheap across the industry right now and go ahead and fire him up against Indianapolis. And once again, Bilal Powell, I was able to get him at like 1% ownership last week. I was doing cartwheels. Now that's obviously going to come up, but it's still a great matchup against Cleveland. And we saw last year what he does when Matt Forte's not on the field. I think if you can pair Powell with either Gurley or Le'Veon Bell and feel pretty good about it.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm with you on really all those picks. I'll throw in a couple more cheap guys I like. A guy that I know you don't play, but he's starting to get more carries, and if he's healthy, I like Amir Abdullah this week at home, favored against Carolina. He's starting to become the bell cow a little bit in that Detroit offense.
Have him. Go ahead, take him. I kind of like the guy on the other side of that matchup, Christian McCaffrey. We had all the preseason hype for him, and it's kind of faded away. He's only had one game, and that was against the Saints where he turned in a usable effort. But the guy's still on the field for 70% of the snaps, and against a Detroit defense that has been vulnerable to pass-catching running backs, in a game that I think is a sneaky shootout, I like him.
Yeah, I like the McCaffrey call, too. I'll throw in one more guy on the opposite of your Bilal Powell pick, Duke Johnson. He is essentially a wide receiver, and he's essentially Cleveland's number one wide receiver right now. 10 targets last week, 7 targets the week before, back-to-back 20-point games, and he's less than 5,000 on DraftKings.
Yeah, he's up to 6,000 on FanDuel, and I do like the play, but you have to realize he's been able to reach those totals with rushing touchdowns, but he's done that on 4 carries and 2 carries, 6 total carries over the last couple of weeks, so you might be chasing some points here. I think the ownership might be higher than it should be. But that being said, the Jets' run defense has been bad. It's going to continue to be bad. We saw the Raiders a few weeks ago. I think every running back on their roster had a touchdown in that game against the Jets. So there's worse punt plays.
Definitely. All right, let's move on to wide receiver. Kyle, who are some of your top guys there on FanDuel?
Well, all of them. Antonio Brown. I feel like I can make a pretty good case for all these guys. I think Odell Beckham is going to go under-owned because of the worry about his finger. I don't think it's going to be a problem. I love Jordy Nelson and Randall Cobb. Love Dez Bryant. Like I said, A.J. Green always has the potential to go off. DeAndre Hopkins is getting way too much usage. Outside of that, T.Y. Hilton, I think this is another blow-up spot for him. And a guy that I've already played once this year, and I'm going back to the well, is Devontae Parker.
Yes. Yeah, I have no fear of the Miami offense, getting shut out last week. They go play Tennessee's defense.
Yes.
And they're at home. So Parker and Landry, I think, are both great plays this week.
I've now spent the last year plus picking on the Tennessee pass defense, and I'm not going to stop because they're just getting torched week in and week out.
The Tennessee pass defense is a great source of making money in DFS.
Yeah. The one thing I will say about this game being in Miami, there is the potential for a tropical storm or hurricane approaching the Gulf Coast this weekend, and we should watch out for weather conditions down there.
All right, something to certainly keep an eye on. Any other cheap guys you like?
Oh, I said Jerron Brown. One guy. How about Will Fuller? Got any?
Two touchdowns last week.
I know.
You have to be interested in him this week.
Yeah. I like we were talking last week with Arthur on the season long. I really liked Will Fuller last year, earlier in the year before everything really started to go south with the Texans QB situation. Will Fuller has all the upside in the world. Now it's going against a pretty good Kansas City team. It's a boom or bust play, but I think you can do worse if you're doing a dart throw.
Yeah, I like that. I'll throw in one more cheap guy. I like Aldrick Robinson. Assuming that Marquise Goodwin is still in the concussion protocol, Robinson is a guy that is barely above minimum price on DraftKings at $3,100. He got 12 targets last week. He only caught three of them.
Yeah, see, that's one of the. I'm going to let people chase the targets. When a guy catches three of his 12 targets, you can go ahead and have him.
Yeah, he's just so cheap. He doesn't need much to pay off. He can catch three of 12 targets and still pay off his price.
If you're going
to
do that, just go get Jerron Brown.
All right, let's move on to tight end. Kyle, who are some of your favorite guys at tight end this week?
I don't have one. I mean,
you don't have a favorite guy.
I don't like tight end. I don't want to play one. God, I can't see myself paying up for Kelsey. I mean, Ertz is in a tough matchup. That being said, he's getting a ton of looks. That's not going to change. They're going to force him the ball, particularly with Patrick Peterson taking Alshon Jeffrey away. So I don't mind the play. It's getting to the point now he's expensive. Out of the middle pack, I mean, Austin Seferian Jenkins is a solid play. Evan Ingram, the guy that I keep trying to convince myself is safe is Hunter Henry, but it's not. But then I go, well, it's the Giants against tight ends. They just give up they just give up scores left and right to not just one tight end on a roster. They gave them up to two tight ends against the Bucks last week.
Yeah, I think you're fine rostering either Chargers guy in tournaments. I can't figure out which one it is. Gates is getting more opportunity, but Henry's been more efficient, and Henry's a little more expensive on DraftKings. So you may just go down to Gates and hope that. Phillip Rivers just continues trying to find him instead of Henry. But the guy that I think is going to be on, 80% of my roster is going to be Austin Seferian Jenkins. Cleveland just bleeds against tight ends. The Giants and Browns are the two worst teams in the NFL against tight ends when it comes to giving up fantasy points. And if we've got one sort of can't figure out who's going to get the opportunity on one end, and we know who's going to get the opportunity on the other with Seferian Jenkins, I think it's ASJ or bust for me at tight end this week.
I can't blame you. The only reason I'm not going harder for Austin Seferian Jenkins is I think that he's going to be one of the most popular value picks of the week.
Yeah, that's a place where I'm kind of willing to eat chalk a little bit. But Martellus Bennett is a little bit interesting in a high total game.
Yeah, I kind of was overlooking him, but I think you're going to see him. Let's see. Decent target so far. With his size, eventually he's going to find one in the end zone. This might be the week.
Yeah, I think it's probably Bennett and ASJ for me this week, and I don't see myself really going a lot of other places unless we get some sort of clarity on the Chargers.
Yeah. One other I'll throw in there, and this is just a kind of a punt play or a, you know, dart throw here is Jesse James against the Jacksonville defense. If you really think Antonio Brown and the perimeter receivers are going to be taken away, Pittsburgh is going to have to throw the ball, and this could be one of those games where Jesse James ends up with 6 receptions or so for a touchdown.
All right, well, that'll do it for the Pro Football Weekly DFS podcast this week. For Kyle Neighbors, I'm John Solly. Good luck in your matchups.